Fuck, we recording this or what?
Wait for it.
Where's the good-looking cousin? There he is.
All right, everybody from Thank the Light Wheel of Time Land, here is what we're doing. Just like Amazon, we're dropping a three-parter. They're all going to kind of run together. I'm going to release them, hopefully simultaneously, if not simultaneously, like boom, boom, boom.
And we're doing all Dragon Reborn chapters. Oh, no, the show came out. That's what we're doing. My bad.
The show came out. So they're all going to kind of run together. Like, we're going to try to keep it somewhat like first episode, second episode, third episode, but they are going to run together a little bit. In order for my sanity, I need to keep them kind of tight so I can get these edited and get them out to you. We're going to leave a lot on the table. All right. So just hang in there. We have all year to talk about these episodes. These are our first takes, our three-parter. So like, I literally might cut Justin off mid-thought, start the next episode, and we're going to pick right up where he left off. So just hang in there. You're not from Oakland, Jeremy. Don't root it in. Oh, you're rooted in Sacramento.
Close enough.
On that note, so I'm just going to do one intro. You're going to hear this intro for all three episodes. You're going to hear the same outro for all three episodes. The one thing I do want to say up top real quick, head on over to patreon.com/thankthelight. Check it out. We're going to keep giving you sweet, awesome Wheel of Time content for free. If you would like to help support us for $3 a month, for that $3, you will get a sticker. Woohoo! Who doesn't like stickers? But even better than that, every single month after that, for every month, forever, as long as you're giving us the $3, you will get a bonus exclusive Patreon episode where we will watch something that isn't the Wheel of Time and unfairly compare it to the Wheel of Time. And Jeremy will talk about how much better that show is than the Wheel of Time, because this is not the story that he grew up loving.
I can't wait.
You're absolutely right.
Thank the light, everyone. Everybody, welcome to episode 2 of our three-parter. This is 2 of 3, Strangers and Friends.
Exchanging glances.
So that fight at the end of episode 1 was like, holy shit, so amazing. And I guess, you're I was complaining the last episode about, you know, how there wasn't enough battles. And that was, I guess I just expected, like I said, like a big battle. But there's a couple of good fights and there's like, one of them, even just Nynaeve sparring, is pretty cool.
I thought that was cool.
And then the Fade battle.
Jeremy's away from the screen.
Was absolutely amazing.
I thought the Fade battle was just really cool. I mean, even in like headcanon, I didn't visualize it that way. I thought it was really cool.
And there's nothing like that's for the movie. Like, there's nothing like that that happens in the books, is there? I mean, I know they fight a lot of Fades, but...
I mean, Lan's a bad motherfucker, and like he'll take on like a couple of Fades in the last battle and stuff. And you know, there's times when you know he definitely can take. He's definitely capable of that. But you don't get anything that specific of him fighting a Fade in the books. You know, maybe one at a time here and there. I think there's one time in the last battle, because I just listened to the last. I just got done listening to A Memory of Light, and like he's like they're like leaving the battlefield for the day, and there was like, I knew the man was good, but you know. So many Fades. He says something about 6 Fades, or he says a number or something like that. And it's just like, fuck yeah. Trust me, in the swordsmans of the world, Lan's number one.
Yeah. If it was in the books. And
maybe he's not right now. He is by the end.
If it was in the books, Lan fighting 3 Fades would not have been a big deal for him. He would have just taken him out. And it would have been that big a deal.
Even without.
Go ahead, Des.
Well, he is missing. You got to think, Jeremy, I think what Des is going to say is he's missing the bond and the boosts in, like, you know, power and awareness.
True. Bond, yeah. So. That might have been helpful for it. So in the books, when they're visiting Adelius and Vandine, a Drakkar comes down and he ends up killing the Drakkar.
I really want to see those.
Yeah.
Which is about to fucking like kiss Moraine, or, you know, do the thing. To
yeah. It's going to kill Moraine.
Right.
Yeah. And Drakkar are not really tough, but they have this like, they're like sirens. So they can like sing like a song. It's like they make this like song. You come to them and then they'll suck your soul out and then they kill you.
That's a good comparison.
Did we see, we haven't seen a Drakkar yet, have we?
You haven't seen a Drakkar. You might not see them.
You don't think so? I think they're important. I feel like you got to see them eventually.
I think they're important, but that doesn't mean they'll be in there. It's a lot, you know, and you got to make it. You have to like, I mean, it's a lot. It wouldn't hurt my feelings if there was no Drakkar.
No, it's not the worst thing ever because you know what? Honestly, Greyman and the Golem or Golem, or however you want to say it, that thing is way more important.
Yes, spend your time on the Golem. The Golem needs to be in there. It's
because that's important.
You're fucking farting.
What is that thing?
An excremental. The Golgothan.
A what?
A shit demon.
Yes, I think that the Golem is much more important, and Greyman too. I think Greyman would be. Like, but how do you do a gray man? Like a guy that looks just so normal that he blends into everything.
So let's see, what actor? What actor is that?
Paul Reiser.
It's Paul.
Oh man, that's amazing. So we finally get some Rand.
So are we ready to get to the first thing I hate? Yeah, we finally get some Rand. We ready to get to what I hate?
Fuck.
I'm gonna channel Jeremy 100% this episode.
Go for it. Go for it. Do it.
Yeah, I have no idea where to start.
So, how the fuck is he already with Celine? I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it. I hate it.
Wow.
Oh, we're fucking now? What? How did you meet this chick? Why are you in the foregate with her? Do you work for her? How did you get the job at the asylum? Come on.
Yeah.
Like, I know you got to jump some shit, but that's all shit that's not in the books. And you don't give us any kind of a fucking, give me a fucking 30-second expedition dump and tell me how you got there. I hate it. Hey.
Yeah.
Yes. I
wasn't that mad at first. I thought about it for a couple hours. I'm fucking pissed. I hate it.
Now, if we got a cold open that did tie those 6 months together, would that fix it?
Yes. If it gets explained in the next five episodes, fine. But right now, fuck you. I'm mad about it.
I was so surprised. I wrote down because I don't know who everyone is immediately. I was like, oh, that must be Min. And that's
Celine. What the fuck? Hate.
Yeah, I said Rand is already with a woman. Min? ? Because then I would have been like, at least it's someone he knew. But then when I realized it was Celine, I was like, oh fuck.
# who the fuck is Egwene?
Yeah, exactly. You know what? So one of the other things too. One of the Shannarans was in Last Kingdom. He rode with Uhtred Bevenberg, which was very cool. Rand working in an insane asylum, I wrote down, is a little too on the nose.
I know. I laugh because a lot of the like predictions were like, oh, he's in an insane asylum. Like, did he check himself in because he's having mental health issues, which is very woke of time. But it's like, yeah, that makes sense. You know, you're slated to go insane. Maybe you want to get ahead of it a little bit. That makes sense. It's like, oh, he's working there. What a dirty little bird. That's a fucking manipulation, Rand, already.
Rand had to take a me day.
Why would the fucking Aes Sedai put Loghain in just some rando insane asylum?
They wouldn't.
Like?
They wouldn't.
Because it's not in Tar Valon. It's in Carheen, right?
Yeah, which doesn't make any sense either. That doesn't make any sense. They wouldn't let him out of his sight.
Which makes no sense.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say hate, don't love.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, it's one of those things that if it comes back around, it's like, oh, you know, whatever. I mean, maybe like, oh, we didn't want him in Tar Valon causing a problem. But that's, again, opposite of the books, because they wanted him to walk around the tower grounds. They wanted to parade around because they wanted to be an example to, oh, if you want a channel, you want to call yourself the dragon, this is what you're going to fucking get.
Because even if Rand showed up in Carheen and he's working in an insane asylum, which is like, okay, I guess that's a jump, but whatever. But then you realize that he's there to get in touch with Loghain.
Right. Obviously, it was a ploy.
Then if you take away Celine, then it almost makes sense. But you're right. The like, what the? And they are like, I wrote down hate fuck twice in my notes. Those two.
I feel like there's some shocker action going on.
Like neither. They don't make love either way. Like,
there are some 50 shades of, you know, yeah, land fear.
Hands around the throat and power fucking, like he channels right into her. Like, whew.
Bro, Superman couldn't fuck a normal chick, man. He blows a load like
shot right through her back.
How do we go from hot
Floridian sex with Brandy to man of still coital debates with you in the food court?
Kyrgyzstan is not part of the food court.
They call her Trish the Dish.
No one calls me that.
Oh, hey, you know what? First of all, do we think Rand and his buddies play disc golf? Because I was like, you see them toss the bread?
Oh, yeah, totally. Rock that scuba.
And second of all, is it Lemnis bread?
Is it what?
Nobody? Really? Lemnis bread? Nobody?
That's from Lord of the Rings, right?
Yeah. Like, Min has some too later. It's like, what's going on?
Oh, yeah.
What you don't know in Wheel of Time is all of the bakers are elvish.
The one thing, too, that the guy who's like the crazy sword master guy, he's like, I saw an Aiel kill a brigade. And I was like, a brigade? That seems like a lot. So I looked up, what is a brigade? Brigade? It's between 3,000 and 5,000 men. I was like, come on, guys. Did nobody research this? A brigade is 3,000 and 5,000. One guy. And then he's like, and the women were even tougher.
He's supposed to be crazy, man. That's fine.
Turns out the whole Aiel War was only 7 guys coming across the wall. Coming across the...
Just one clan chief from each one, and that's it. That's it. 3 wise ones. They didn't do anything but watch.
Yeah, they just watched.
One maiden who was pregnant. You guys couldn't fucking kill her? Come on. What the fuck is Moraine's problem? I know she's sad, but Jesus.
Hold on.
She's super sad, bro.
So Rand's like visions of death in the beginning of this, like he has those visions and it's all of his friends dying.
Right. Well, he's afraid that he's going to kill them.
Oh, was he having visions of him killing them?
Yeah, that's what he's afraid of.
Getting them killed, though, not actually killing them.
No, actually killing them, like going crazy and killing them. That's what he's afraid that, you know.
That was a dream, right?
Yeah, because of the channeling that eventually you're going to go crazy.
It's probably Celine, or is she fucking with him?
Could be that too. Yeah. Or it could just be the pressure of like actually finding out that you can channel.
Yeah. He could have just needed some warm milk so he didn't have nightmares. You know? It's a pretty fucking stressful situation that he's in. Although, you know, he seems like he's handling it pretty fucking well.
I'm starting to get on the hate bus with Justin. Like,
how am I the guy that's like, it's not that bad?
I'm not hating. It's just there's certain things that like, I loved literally, you know, 85% of it. There's a few things I'm just like.
Well, I'm just getting on the Rand storyline is really starting to bug me more because
he's fucking not enough of Rand, dude.
That's the thing. There's not a lot
still,
of him.
Like, Jack, I kept just thinking, God damn it. Jeremy's right, man. There's not. It was fucking 45 minutes into the first episode. And I get it. Rand is supposed to be dead.
Yeah.
But we know he's not dead. We know he's not dead.
Yeah. And like. And there needs to be more of him channeling and then showing him fighting the channeling instead of him just not channeling for 2 episodes.
Oh, no, I channeled while I came.
And then the first time he channels is to hate fuck Celine. And then he lights his house on fire.
Listen to that. Hey, man.
Wrong episode, guys. Wrong episode. Hold on.
Oh, the sniffer. Have we gotten the sniffer's name in the show yet? I know we know who he is, but
yeah, Elias. He says his name. Yeah,
they did say Elias. Okay. Because of course I couldn't remember his name and I did not hear them say it in this show at all. So yeah, that's like, is Elias hanging out with them like that in the books? Just
no.
Because even in the books,
fine, because that's another one, because Jeremy's like, you got to lose Huron and you really need Elias.
Right.
So to combine them it only makes sense.
Okay.
In the books, there's another guy his name is Huron. He's what's called a sniffer. He can smell like when violence has happened. And so that's the guy they use. Whereas in Elias comes in, he and Perrin have the exact same type of like abilities. And so he can also smell Perrin. So Huron goes missing. Perrin is like, I can kind of do what Huron does. Wink, wink. Actually, he can't. What he can do is he can smell where people have been because it's advanced or enhanced, not advanced.
I got advanced technology.
Yeah. He has enhanced smelling abilities.
I can smell you stink before you stink.
Exactly. And so Elias, they're just like, okay, instead of having Kieran and Elias, we're going to have an amalgamation of both of them, which I think is totally fine because you can't have all of these characters together. You got to start putting them together.
You can't.
Well, I think you guys even talked about that. I think you guys literally.
It was honestly, that's really a smart thing to do for them. I was like, that's a good idea.
I think they stole it from us, Jeremy. You and I, we came up with that. We came up with that 6 months
ago. You're probably right.
Never mind that this show was fucking done and shot way before that.
Yeah.
Jeremy, what do you think about Varen being not so absent-minded? I mean, like, Varen definitely had moments where she would be like she was in the show, where she was very focused and stuff. And you find out later that, you know, at least a good portion of that is more act than not act to kind of throw people off.
Yeah.
But I don't love that she doesn't at least kind of just, even after like one of her like long ex, like blah, 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 and then like stare off into space or something weird, you know, like I wish there was something.
Was that the third episode? I mean, they all kind of running together because I watched them all in a row, but was it the third episode when Varen and Moraine are having the talk and Moraine's reaching for the knife because Varen is basically saying like, oh, I know that you had, we're hiding the Dragon Reborn and doing all that. And which is straight from the book and was really cool. And there was a lot of stuff in that, but you're not getting the ditziness that Varen kind of gives off. And so when she comes out and just like smacks down everybody, everyone, you know, that sense of like, what, this airhead who keeps, not airhead, she's like this girl who just keeps her head down in a book and doesn't know what's going on around her, actually knows everything that's going on around her and perceives things that you may have thought you were hiding, but she was actually noticing and filing it away in her brain and then putting things together, and it comes up with all of the, you know, all the stuff that she wasn't purview. She didn't have, you know.
She basically figures out that Suwan and Moraine are helping out Ran, and he is.
Exactly.
I don't think she knows in the book anyway. She doesn't know that he's the dragon yet, but she's like, well, obviously one of these young men can channel and you wouldn't be helping him.
Yes.
If you didn't at least think that he was the Dragon Reborn.
Right.
You get a version of that. And I thought it was pretty gangster that not only does Moraine kind of like fucking flash the steel, Varen very much notices and is like, well, I wanted to see if you were serious.
Yeah.
Like, okay, then. I mean, I do like her coyness. You know, it's coming off in a way that I think will work with her arc. I do wish there was just a little bit of that like spaciness.
Me too. I agree.
Sometimes. And, you know, there's ways that you can like extrapolate it and increase it later. You know, there's lots of ways that she could start to become, oh, she's getting old, she's getting spacey, whatever. And I don't think they'll do it because I think they're setting up for her to be a really strong character. But I love her portrayal of Varen. I just don't love that it's not quite as like, you know, the ink on the nose. And
I love the ink on the nose Varen, where you're like,
I do too. Some of the things that like she'll go to, like, oh, well, you picture her like, you know, going to push up her glasses with the pen quill, and like she's there's no lenses in the glasses, you know, and shit. Like, weird shit.
Right.
Is Errol, he's made up for the show, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he doesn't exist. But that was another thing. It's like, okay, he can't be with Lan to train to make it believable that he's a blade master. Well, he's learning forms from this guy and he'll practice on his own. I'm like, okay, not my favorite, a little lazy, but at least we have a reason.
I said Brad Pitt from 12 Monkeys is training Rand.
I said Bilbo. He looked like Bilbo to me.
He did look like Bilbo Baggins,
didn't he? Right, looked a little like Bilbo.
He totally did.
So pairing with a sword is pretty funny to me, and we get a version of Flicker, kinda, not 100%.
You think so?
Well, that was one of the things when they go into the village. Rand is there and he sees that family like getting murdered and
yeah.
And what happens. And that's the first, you know, there's a few different flickers and that's one of them. But they use that moment as a way to tell you what Perrin can do with the wolves. He's getting those images, in my opinion, from the wolves and from Elias, because that's how wolves speak to men. They don't know words like, hey, bro, how you doing today? It's like,
no.
You know, wolves are like, they show you a picture because that's how they explain stuff. When they start to call Perrin young bull, they just send a picture of a bull with, you know, one big, two big horns that look like his axe, you know?
No, but Perrin gets to the point where he can smell the terrible thing that's happened in a town. And I think that's just them visualizing him smelling the terror that went down.
It's a little bit of both. And I hate to fucking toot my own fucking horn of a leer, but remember when they went to Faldara and he saw Pod and Fane and he was like,
yes.
Did I just see Pod and Fane? That was his fucking wolf ability, dude.
Yeah, that was him smelling where Podden had been. And that's, I think,
it's that same kind of like ethereal thing that's going on.
Yeah.
Well, and Elias says to him, he goes, you'll see, you'll learn the difference between your visions and what's real.
Yeah, they kind of combined the Rand when Rand, because that was the when Perrin,
that was Rand's thing.
Yeah, when Perrin walks into the room and then he sees all the people and all the stuff going on, that actually happened to Rand. And what is actually happening when that happens is Celine is giving him that vision because she's there.
What?
And you don't. Yes, you don't.
She's in the window, right?
Yeah, she gets. Yeah. And so she's doing that to mess with his head.
Do you think she has anything to do with it here?
No, I don't think so. No, because she's still in Kyrian or Kyrian or whatever it is called in whatever they're calling it. How did they say it? They said Kyrian, right? Karheen? They said Karheen?
It was kind of, it was a little bit of both. I felt like it was Karheen.
Karheen? Okay, whatever.
Like they bit the H and double vowel it.
And emphasized the I.
Yeah. Yeah.
They put the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Exactly. So you want the chat room or the house in Malibu, M? Your emphasis is on the wrong syllable. They said 30's the new 20. Funny. Must mean 40's the new 30. Interesting. Exactly.
Oops, we met a Blade Master, so that was cool. Yeah, we wrote that down.
Yeah.
Is that Errol? Is he a Blade? Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a Blade Master. He talks about, where's my hair and Mark Sword? And Rand's like, tell me about the forms. Show me the forms.
So... who is the guy that Leandrin is trying to...
Not yet. Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Okay, it's this episode.
Not yet. I know, at the end. You're talking about the old guy, right, Des?
Yeah.
Not yet.
Okay.
So you see Leandrin taking the like stuff that could be... it's one of those things. Herbs are so much is poison, but a little bit is a painkiller. You know, not unlike, you know, some of the shit.
A little bit of Oxycontin takes the pain away. A lot of Oxycontin.
a lot will kill you. You see the banded cuff on the gal who heals the little girl. She's an accepted. I'm not sure why Leandrin is pushing Nynaeve. Whatever is going on. I don't know if she's trying to, you know, I Leandrin this season, like Jeremy said, is, you know, you're getting a little bit of sympathy for her character, or at least they're trying to make her not seem so shitty. And that was one of the things I was saying about the Shannarans, that they found that there were some dark fringe Shannarans. So you don't know what Shannaran was at the Dark Friend Social. There was one of them, but, you know, who was it? Was it Ingtar? Was it Massimo? Was it Uno? Was it these guys that we don't really know that obviously let Pot and Fane into Faldara in episode 8, you know? So they're definitely trying to spin that, you know, there was a nice die or two at the meeting. They're like, who is it? You know, they're giving you little hints of, it might be this person. It might be this person. I like the way they're doing that. And that was another thing, you know, the version flicker thing with a way to explain Perrin's visions with the wolves. I think that's a good combination. It tells the story and gets it done in a relatively quick way and a cool way. It's fun to watch that kind of stuff to me.
I like it, but I wouldn't dare call it flicker-ish.
I know it's a fake version. I think we could still get a version of flicker, but I do like that they did that.
So I think Leandrin is pushing Nynaeve so that when she turns her,
do you think that's her motivation to make her powerful and then convert her?
Yeah,
or you know, recruit her or whatever you want to call it.
That's what I think she wants.
Well, and that's one of the things from season one. Fuck you, episode one. Stupid Justin.
Stupid, damn, stupid.
They say that Egwene is very powerful, more powerful than anyone in the tower right now, basically is what they allude to. And then she states in a factual way that Nynaeve is 10 times as powerful as Egwene when she can channel.
Right.
Which I thought was, you know, they're setting up the power tiers quickly.
Which they only know because of, actually, how do they know that? Because of the chain they created it.
Wikipedia.
In season one.
You have to look at the Wheel of Time compendium.
Because everyone else died.
Yeah, the compendium.
Because didn't everyone die who chained with her in the finale? Yeah,
everybody else died.
So there's really no one alive to be like, I felt her power. I mean, obviously she's powerful, but to like gauge it and put a number on it seems like hearsay to me.
I don't want to get too far off, but how they burned people out in the finale, that is fucking canon. I don't know if I texted you guys, but I tweeted it. It's fucking canon. Grendahl in the last battle does it to at least one, maybe two Aes Sedai that she's linked with. She channels through them so much that whether through exhaustion or just too much power, they are stilled and drop dead.
Oh, you call that stilling?
It's just like you basically burn yourself out, whatever you want to call it. You can't channel anymore.
Yeah, it's not stealing, because stealing is when somebody does it to you. But yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's sort of like you burn out your own fuse and you can't replace
it. It's called burning out. Yeah.
But if you're dead, I mean, that's, who cares if you have the power?
But some people don't die. Okay. Some people don't die and they burn themselves out. They'll just, but they, those people pretty much fucking died, which is a thing. And, you know, I was like, it was one of the only examples you see of it, but it makes total sense that you could do it. Somebody else does it. One of the Forsaken does it to one of the lesser dreadlords or Forsaken at one point, and almost kills him too by draining him of the true power, which is pretty cool. It's obviously, you could tell that Nynaeve is one of Rafe's very favorite characters, because she's going to get credit for everything.
Literally.
Jeremy's so mad about it.
I am. Do you guys like Min and Matt's meet cute?
Yeah, it was pretty good. Do you think that they will change that?
I think that wouldn't be, honestly,
I wouldn't be super upset about it because of the way that they go back and forth in the last battle. But Matt's got
a wife that he has to get. Yeah.
What if Matt's the dude that has a harem and not Rand?
I'm cool.
Ah!
I'm cool with that.
What if they both have a harem? Min and Tuan and then Elaine and Avienda. That'd be dope. That'd be more believable.
Could Rand just end up with Celine chasing him for 5 seasons?
Oh, that's going to happen. That's going to happen.
She's going for a while.
Okay.
It's going to happen, yeah.
She's going to, the entirety of it.
Because does Matt have anyone to fuck in the books, or do they need to create that?
Matt gets around.
Okay. That's what I would guess, but I could see them not.
Your boy Matt lays pipe. He gets down. He's got some bondage stuff with one of the queens. He gets down.
So of all of the guys.
Like, he loves a slim ankle.
Of all of the guys, like Perrin and Matt and Rand, he by far gets around the most. Like, not even close.
Okay.
Yeah. Perrin's like fucking practically a virgin. Rand kind of is too, because he's like, oh, you want to touch my penis? Okay, we've known each other for several years. We kissed about a billion times. But then immediately he's like, he's so like Southern Baptist. He's like, well, we had sex. We better get married. And they're just like, Avienda's like, you fucking 10?
Except when he choke fucks Celine in this in episode 2.
Dude, that's another thing. Like, I get it that they're trying to do TV and they're trying to, you know, like, but that's so.
That's.
Not I
do you think that's because he's,
hate it
do you think
hate it
do you think that's because he's holding back the power so much that that's how he's getting it out of his system?
Yeah, I'm sure that's part of it, you know.
I mean
I'm sure that's
because it doesn't. I get why she's trying to seduce him, but
the power. Ooh, trying to hold
we better get the jokes in, bro. I'm telling you, the next episode is going to be so fucking depressing. I'm very upset. I already DM'd my best friend to talk about it. He hasn't hit me back yet.
Oh, God.
Did you notice, too, that Min doesn't recognize Matt, even though they've seen each other?
They have not seen each other.
No. Was it Matt in the bar? He wasn't in the bar?
No, dude. That's in Faldara after the waves.
Oh, dude. You're totally right. You were totally right. Yes.
I said the same thing, though. I was like, fuck, what, does she not know him? And I'm like, oh, wait, he wasn't fucking there. Plus, it was Barney Harris. Why would she recognize yeah. Donald?
Totally Fett? Different actor.
God, it's a completely different guy. That being said, one of the first things that Matt does on screen, not even talking.
I did like that.
I fucking laughed my ass off.
That was amazing.
I was dead. I was like, now you're Matt, motherfucker.
Yep.
Yes, I liked it.
Dance with the Jack of Shadows. I love
it. Why is Leandrin literally sweetening up Matt?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I have no idea. I don't know what the deal is. I mean, they, like I said, Moraine said, watch him. But why she told the fucking Red Aja, I don't fucking have a clue. Does she suspect he could channel?
To me, honestly, if you guys know about the last season of Breaking Bad.
I do.
Like the first or second episode when he opens up the trunk and there's like an M60 sitting in there, right? Talking to Vince Gilligan. Vince Gilligan was like, we just put that in there. We didn't know how it was going to happen. We didn't know what we were going to do with it. But we needed to put something in there to get us like motivated.
Really? That's amazing.
Well, I think last season they were like, just say, contact the Red Aja. And then we'll figure it out after that. Because with all the stuff going on, I think that that's what they did. And so they're like, this is what the best we could come up with.
We're going to have to open 6 doors depending, because Barney's gone, depending on what we do, we're going to have to open 7 doors so that we can.
And now they're like, but wait, the girls are at the tower too. Wouldn't they know Matt's there? It's like,
That was my next question. It literally is like, do you guys think, obviously, Egwene and Nynaeve, we find out they don't know he's there, right? And he's not in the tower. He's not in the tower. He's in Tar Valon somewhere.
No, he's in the tower because there's the scene where he's leaving.
No, she goes out of the tower.
No. That's for the other guy. She goes out of the...
No, I think she's... I don't think he's in the tower. I think he's in some sort of like area that's like a cells or something that are not in the tower. Still on the tower grounds, but not in the tower because when he goes outside, Egwene's in the garden.
Now you're splitting hairs.
Yeah.
Well, Egwene's in the garden, and I'm just saying,
like in the white, he's on the White House lawn, yes. Not the White House.
I feel like he's a fucking like double secret Guantanamo Bay or something, dude. It's like it's still on the tower grounds, but like nobody really knows he's there.
Well, the tower is huge. There's plenty of there's.
And who put men in a dungeon?
Well, clearly it was Aes Sedai, because remember she said it's in the next episode.
Duh, which one?
Well, it's a Red Aja thing. She said, didn't she say that? I think she said that.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm starting to get a little drunk. I forgot.
I don't know. I just like her. I just like her dominating hard cheekbones.
Let's cut the jokes and the story. The acting was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Acting was good.
I thought there was, I didn't see any, there was, you know, a lot less like cheesy bullshit going on in these first three episodes than we, you know, I was actually looking for stuff to pick apart. I found a few things, but not a lot.
Yeah. The individual characters are flawless. Like what they're doing with them is we can pick apart a little bit, but
I think you noticed too, Justin, that they're moving up the conflict between Nynaeve and Egwene, where it's after they had left the tower and they're going out to hunt the Black Aja in the books, but then now it's still in the tower. They're like, there's becoming this competition between the two of them.
Dude, did you catch the Catswain name drop? Also, Sierra Coveney.
I did. I totally did.
Is she not from fucking Word One, Elaine?
Yeah,
with the bread pillows and shit. I'm like, oh, hottie much? Yeah. She brews her own shit.
Yeah,
she makes toilet wine. I love it. I'm fucking, no wonder Rand loves her, dude. I'm into it. I was like, what? Because dude, so later on, Desmond, in the books,
yes,
Elaine begets children, and she really likes a cup of wine, and her warder's like, fuck off, you're drinking goat's milk. And there's a certain point in the book where she's like, I had one cup of wine, but it's like there's a cute like serving boy at an inn who just kept refilling her wine, so she's fucking shithoused.
Pregnant and shithoused?
No.
Oh, okay.
She's shithoused before she gets pregnant. But then later on, when she's pregnant, she's just like, oh, she's like so white girl mom. She's like, I'd kill for a hard kombucha. It's so good.
Give me a White Claw right now.
Like she says the equivalent of like, fuck you, you piece of shit motherfucker, to her warder for not giving her one glass of wine and making her drink warm milk.
I need a Chardonnay.
Really? Are you kidding me? Oh my God, Desmond, are you serious?
Oh, did you notice too the first mention of Mazur? Time.
That was my next thing. Fucking, you get a Katsuan name drop, you get a Mazrim Taim name drop, which yeah. Fucking, oh, I was fucking, you know, full mast on both of those. I'm like, what?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
They do say angry or afraid with Nynaeve's block, which I thought was interesting because in the book is very strictly anger, anger, anger.
Just angry.
You get to see a lionfish, which is cool. I always thought a lionfish was a shark. Obviously, it's more like the Goliath tigerfish of the Amazon. Look one of those up. That's what it fucking looks like. Yeah, dude, the Mazrim Taim, I thought was really awesome. The name drop of that was great.
That was kind of cool.
Who's the guy that Leandrin is?
We're getting there, bitch. God damn it.
What do you mean we're getting there?
That's her son.
Shut up.
It's her son.
Yes, it's her son, and I'm guessing.
Oh, okay. You know what? I actually did know that. I actually did deduce that from the show. I just forgot.
It's her son, and I'm guessing that he could channel, seeing as how she can channel, and she's pretty strong, and they gentled him.
No.
And that's why he's fucked up.
No.
And she's kept him alive since they gentled him as a miserable wretch.
I disagree. I think it's just because... I think it's because... Thank you, both of you. Appreciate that. I think
tell
it's
how
because
fucking wrong he is. He's stupid.
She talks about how Aes Sedai live for a long time. They can live for hundreds of years. And so what it is he's just very old, but she looks.
Do you really think he's just a fucking vessel to show how long they live?
Yes, that's absolutely what it is. That's absolutely what it is. They're showing
how he just happens to be sick and she's trying to fucking...
He happens to be sick because he's very old.
Well, because if he was
His heart is failing. That's what everyone who can't channel anymore, that's how they die. They just give up.
It's also how old people die.
Grandpa wasn't that old.
No, I know.
It's also how people die.
Yeah, that's how people die.
Yeah, they don't have Marlboros in this world.
They got
Two Rivers Tobac.
They got Tobac.
That's weed. That helps you live longer.
It is not weed. It is smoke.
You keep telling your customers that.
You shut your... That's what I tell myself that. The Wheel of Time smokes marijuana, not evil tobacco.
It is absolutely not what it is.
How dare both of you? How dare both of you? How dare both of you?
Tobacco's not evil. People are evil.
I'm disgusted. Jeremy, just tune out for this. You're not going to know what I'm talking about. We invented dabs, bro. Me,
yeah.
You, Lars, and Jason. You realize that, right?
Jason is, yeah.
More Jason Carpenter.
Yeah.
You invented dabs, bro.
Yeah.
100%. You converted knife hits of hash and weed to the precursor of dabs, which is now oil and dabs. And Dez, I'm not going to get into it, but you know what I'm talking about.
The fucking bong hood. Oh, my God.
The knife hit fucking like a Pac-Man ghost looking thing. Remember?
Fuck.
And then we went to that glass shop and they had 30 of them. We're all.
You're welcome.
We should have patented that shit. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
I'm sorry. I'm going to hurry up. I got to say out of everybody.
The hanging fade.
Dude, nailed to the wall. Sick. Everything I'd hoped for. Right. Jeremy, was it like.
That was totally cool. Totally cool.
Headcanon. Bam. It's exactly what I pictured.
Yeah.
Pairing with a sword was fucking stupid, but.
Yeah. Why have they not given him his axe yet? That's what I want to know. Why?
I'll tell you why. You want to know why?
Why?
I've seen a picture of the guy who plays Dane Bornhold with a double half moon axe.
Right.
So I'm wondering if they flip it.
Okay.
And Perrin kills Dane and Jeffrem wants revenge.
Okay.
Nope. He is not going to get it.
That would make more sense.
He's not going to get his axe until he makes it. He's not going to have an axe before he makes one in the show.
Okay. All right.
Close, but no. I think you're wrong, but you're close because
no. You
don't know something that happens later and you don't know how close you are. Nynaeve looks like she went to Hogsmeade. Where did she go?
What are we looking at? Just shoot your fingers.
My alarm's going off.
Oh, okay. Oh, again, we couldn't hear it.
Oh, God, I got so much. Okay. Let me look at the important stuff. Oh, you get the conversation with Moraine and Varen. They talk about some of the prophecies. A battle in the sky, branded hand, sword of fire, Toman head. That's major foreshadowing. You see Rand kind of rage out. Was that guy trying to mug him?
No, what? That was the guy that was being a jerk to the Blademaster guy.
Oh, so did Rand hunt him down?
Yeah, he hunted him down and put a beatdown on him.
Oh, shit. I missed that. I thought it was just someone trying to like mug him, dude. My bad.
No.
Well, Rand tricked him into following him, didn't he? Was it?
Rand followed that guy.
Rand followed that guy. Okay.
Yeah, he followed that guy.
And you see him kind of rage out and fucks him up. The Trolloc puppet, Jeremy, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Because we're probably not going to get that scene, but that was pretty dope.
Probably not. That would have been cool though.
Yeah. You know, how did Rand get here? What was the throat grab? Like, is he starting to go mad already? I just like, that's moving so fast. Like I said, you see Leandrin kind of being overtly threatening. She's like, she says she's going to kill her. And then I was just like, is it her son? Do you think he can channel? You don't think he can channel, Jeremy?
I don't think so, no. No, I just think this.
I'm going to go with yet.
Because they didn't talk about anything that had to do with, you know, well, I guess they did kind of talk about with male channelers and everything. But what they were just talking about right before that she goes visits him is how long they live. And so this is kind of just, you know, to reiterate, like this is, they live a long time. So if you have kids, you're going to outlive them by hundreds of years.
Well, my thought is that, you know, channelers have other channelers. So what if
Pan have other channelers?
You know, and this is, like I said, this is a theory. And that's what kind of, that's, you know, she finally, maybe she has to like either kill him or he dies. And that's what kind of pushes over to be a full dark friend.
No, because she had a baby by a man who could channel and he left her, giving her another reason to hate men as much as she does.
Because I was like, she really hates men that can channel. She's like, you know, even more than most Reds. So it's like, why? Because she, you know, hates her son or feels guilty. That's a really good theory, Des. I love that. There's a callback to New Spring when Lan and Moraine meet. I thought that was pretty cool. What is up with the vision of Matt stabbing Rand?
Yeah, that was kind of out of nowhere, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, is that like maybe mincing, like if he goes mad completely, Matt's the only person who could kill him? Or
men's visions always come true, though, in the books.
Do you think it has something to do with Riordan, Jeremy? Maybe some sort of reversal in Riordan.
Maybe. Or maybe it's someone who's putting on like the mask of mirrors and looks like Rand. That would be kind of cool.
Oh.
I love that.
Thank you for listening to Thank the Light, the Wheel of Time podcast. Please like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Thank the Light. And please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/thankthelight. We have and will continue to produce Wheel of Time content for free, but if you could help us with some production costs, we would be greatly appreciated. We are asking for $3 a month, and to show our appreciation, you will receive an exclusive podcast every month. We do not want to put any woke content behind a paywall, so these episodes will consist of us discussing a different fantasy movie and unfairly comparing it to the Wheel of Time. You will also receive a Thank the Light sticker, and if you are one of the first 10 Patreons to subscribe, you will be able to select the movies we discuss. I don't want to give away too much right now, but I'm just saying that as of this exact moment, we have zero patrons. So sign up right now, give us $3, and we're watching your movie in September. If we get 30 subscribers by the end of season 2, you will all receive a Thank the Light t-shirt. That's right, folks. Let's get 30 people on there. We'll get y'all a t-shirt and thank all of you for your patronage. If you like the show and would like to support us for free, we just ask again, like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Thank the Light. Check us out on Twitter. We are Wolf Brothers at Parsta Ailman. That is Wolf Brothers at Parsta Ailman. Send us questions and comments to thankthelight@gmail.com. And also in September, I'm not going to hype the other podcasts because I'm just going to tell you through September, what I'm going to do every Wednesday, folks, is I'm going to drop another podcast from the Sounds Awesome Network. So I don't know what order I'm going to do it, but every Wednesday for the next 4 months, you're going to receive a Truth Not Trends health and fitness podcast, a That Fitness Couple health and fitness podcast, a Time Pop, which if you listen to the Time Pop that just came out yesterday, when you're listening to this, you will hear Jeremy and Justin discuss a time travel movie with myself. And one of those weeks, you'll also get an All the Answers, which is Katie is a real honest to goodness Aes Sedai. She will weave your brain together.
She has the foretelling.
And I will just say, may they find shelter in the palm of the creator.
May you always find water and shade and peace favor your sword.
Yeah, nerds. And so keep your fingers crossed. The season started off. I'm giving it a C. And
he doesn't hate it. He doesn't hate it.
I don't hate it. But there's room for a lot of improvement. There's also room to go way downhill.
If you study a little bit, we can get a B, no problem. If you slack off and go to the party,
yep.
Yeah, D minus. So
you want to be me in high school? You're going to go to that 1.8 GPA?
Or do you want to be me, 2.8? Woo! 2.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you guys serious?
Oh, yeah.
I can't have graduated with the highest GPA out of the three.
I definitely had the lowest.
Gotta be. I had like a 3.3.
Hey, Justin, you want to know a secret?
What?
I didn't graduate high school. But you all out there, you're welcome. I did graduate from Sound College, so you're welcome.
Do you have a diploma from high school? No, nope. But I do have a college diploma.
Exactly, I do. Well, now I definitely have to edit this episode. Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Yep, a lot. Way to go, Jeremy. I was doing pretty good. Oh, you fucked up.